Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
For those of you who visited our new online store, theparacast.shop, we're offering a special 15% off sale for a limited time only when you order something from the store. At the checkout, use the keyword UFO lowercase, and you get a 15% discount. Theparacast.shop. And we have this back and forth on experiences and such with Jerry and Randall. Jerry, why don't you pick up before Randall does?
Well, I think we have to avoid the perils of reductionism. And I think that that's another problem we have in, you know, our discourse on, you know, anomalies. We want to explain them in terms of the known, but they're manifestly not part of the known. If they were, they wouldn't be anomalies. And I remember the Alan Hendry, who investigated UFOs for the Center for UFO Studies in the 70s and 80s, would joke about how every few years somebody would come along with the all-consuming explanation for UFOs. And it was always something that was, you know, rather mundane or just slightly off the mundane and depended on people's misunderstanding the stimuli around them. And the overwhelming explanation for UFOs goes back to the beginning of, practically to the beginning of the UFO era. And the first one that comes to mind, although there were probably one or two before this, was that these were skyhook balloons. And the thing about skyhook balloons is that they were new and novel, but nothing too weird. And we no longer believe that all UFOs are caused by skyhook balloons or any kind of balloons. Anyone who proposes it would be looked at strangely. But I think that we just have to be modest in what we think we know when we're dealing with these phenomena. You know, they seem to be real in the sense that they can be experienced, and a few of them actually seem like event phenomena that are potentially provable as part of the world that we live in, the physical world, consensus reality. We can incorporate them into consensus reality. But if we can't, we'd be better off just saying, I don't know what this is and what causes it, but it seems to be real, in at least in an experienceable sense. That's all I'm saying.
Yes, no doubt that people are having real experiences. And that's really interesting in its own way, in its own right. What they are, I guess it's natural for us to try to figure out what they are. So trying to match potential possible explanations seems to be a sensible way to approach it. If there isn't that approach, what better approach is there?
Try to listen to people, to what they're saying. You know, the least listened to person in a case of an anomaly is the witness. There's a sort of implicit assumption that since the witness could not have experienced what he or she says he or she experienced, then we can tell them what they saw.
That's a bad idea.
All the time. Yeah. And if you want to know what's happening, listen carefully to the witness. Now, if the witness says, well, it was twilight, the lighting was bad, and I heard some sound in the bushes, and I thought I saw in the shadows some great big ape, that's not a case that you have to spend a lot of time worrying about. You may or may not be able to explain it, but the evidence is so weak and so subject to other interpretations that you don't have to spend a lot of time thinking about that. A group of people say they see some Sasquatch-like creature in broad daylight and not all that far away from them, where if they were saying that they had seen a horse from that distance and in those viewing conditions, it would never occur to us to disbelieve what they say. I think we have to sort of assume that most people, even people telling fantastic stories, are telling the truth as they see it. If we have reason to believe otherwise, then we dismiss their testimony.
How about, okay, well, there's a good example then. So what do you think of the whole Patterson film then? I mean, it's used, that's very controversial. Which side do you fall on?
I'm not an authority on this, I want to say. I'm, you know, my interest in cryptozoology is casual. I have read more about it than most people. That isn't saying much because most people have read practically nothing about it. Even people have a strong opinion about it. My impression from the reading that I have done is that the creature in the Patterson film is likely a great ape of some kind.
Probably.
Even an actual animal.
Even though the guy who, there was a guy who said that he was paid to dress up in a costume, showed the costume, said that he was there, can be tracked, you know, that whole thing.
That's the thing that's interesting to me. I'm thinking about it lately because somebody else brought up the Patterson film recently. And we automatically, we're suspicious with good reason. When somebody comes forward and says, I know this, I know the real truth about this or that real controversial thing, like, say, the Roswell incident. And I'm in a position of authority because I was there. Well, we've learned that you don't automatically believe these people. And that people making negative claims are often as likely as people making positive claims not to be credible. I have heard several stories, several different individuals claim they were the guy in the suit. And these stories just don't seem to go anywhere. And they're advanced as the final word on this subject. However, the final word on the subject is not some guy who makes some claim like that who can't prove that he's telling the truth. He's just saying it. And his testimony is not supported by other evidence. But the real... the Patterson film is going to be settled by physical anthropologists studying the film. There's a guy who spent his life as a special effects guy in Hollywood. He's written a whole book saying that why the image in the Patterson film couldn't be a guy in a suit. And the scientific literature on this says that all kinds of subtle movements within the film on the creature itself are not ones that could be faked. And in fact, there are things in that film, which was made in 1967, I believe, that were not known about anthropoids in 1967, but we have since learned about them. Now, these are the kinds of things that are going to settle the issue. It's not just some guy making an unsupported claim that he was in a monkey suit. It's really a question of very specialized knowledge about how muscles in the great apes work, what the film reveals about them that is concordant with current knowledge. And, I mean, with our advanced knowledge of these things, is our developing knowledge.
Of course, this is just the beginning. We have lots more to cover on the show. So stay with us, okay? We've got Jerry Clark We've got Gene Steinberg and J. Randall Murphy. Chris Rutkowski is joining us shortly. You're in
the Paracast.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Message and data rates may apply.
Help! Seriously, I'm too young for hair loss.
My hairline keeps creeping back. Receding?
I've got this bald spot. Oh, it's thinning everywhere.
I'm gonna have to give up and shave it.
Dude. Put down the razor, because Bosley, America's number one hair restoration expert, is about to give you your real hair back permanently. Don't ignore the signs of hair loss. Bosley is giving away an absolutely free information kit that reveals all the signs and a free gift card to anyone who texts KIT88 to 85850. Bosley will show you for free how great your hair could look. Using the latest technology, Bosley's solution to hair loss is permanent and protected by the Bosley Guarantee. Plus, since Bosley has new non-surgical options, you owe it to yourself to text now for an absolutely free information kit and a gift card for $250 off, no matter what level of hair loss you have. Text KIT88 to 85850. KIT88 to 85850.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Let's continue with Jerry Clark on the Paracast.
Negative testimony is critically as positive testimony in these things. And I just don't see any convincing claim by anybody who claims to have been in the monkey suit. It just isn't anything that settled anything. It was just somebody else telling a story. And I think of the Roswell incident, which is full of people claiming special knowledge, and now we know that many of them were simply making it up.
That's all fair enough. But going back to your original point, though, I think we can safely say that when you were talking about the distinction between the different types of experiences, that if we were to look at the Patterson case, we are looking at a case where something material, real, out in the real world was happening, as opposed to just one of these in-between or purely subjective experiences.
Exactly. This is what I would call an event-level anomaly. Not an experience-level anomaly, but an event-level anomaly. And if the Patterson film, you know, is ultimately validated, it will be like a hardcore UFO case, like a radar visual that stands up, that tells us that something was there that could be clearly filmed or tracked on radar or other instruments, that there are event-level anomalies. But the most extraordinary anomalies are, in my opinion, what I call experience anomalies, that they're visions with certain kinds of physical components or physical experience with the imagination as part of the equation.
Do you think they're initiated by the experiencer's imagination or initiated by something external to the experiencer?
That's a very good question. And the answer is, I don't know. What's striking is that so many people who have extraordinary experiences don't know what is happening to them. For example, people who encounter, say, like an elf, if they even know about elves, it may never have occurred to them that such a thing was possible, and yet they have that experience. You don't have to know about these things to experience them. You may learn later that there is a tradition of some kind of supernatural or extraordinary entity that is known to other people, but if it isn't known to you, then it's coming out of somewhere.
Ah, interesting, yes.
In your conscious imagination.
Exactly. That would imply that it's being initiated from something external, or that we're back to maybe this whole Jungian archetype thing again.
Well, I bow out of Jungian archetypes. As Fort once said about the fourth dimension, he says, I'm not going to bring that in to prove that I don't know what I'm talking about.
Think of it this way, Jerry. If it was the fifth dimension, we can get you back and get rid of you simply by having you say your name backwards. I don't know if you know the comic book connection to that.
There's a very good book written by a psychologist named Richard Knoll called The Aryan Christ. It's a book that came out about 25 years ago, and it's a biography of Carl Jung. And in the book, Knoll pretty much demolishes the collective unconscious, and he shows exactly where Jung's argument comes from, and the argument is indisputably wrong based on faulty knowledge of the ancient world. It's a very interesting book, which I recommend, but it isn't helpful to think about Jungian archetypes. It is helpful to think, I think, about experiences that break down binaries, that are liminal, that are somewhere in between. They're not one thing, they're not another, they're both in some sense. I think it's interesting that the great scholar of fairy lore, the Reverend Robert Kirk, who was a 17th century figure, who wrote the first comprehensive book on Scottish fairy beliefs and published in 1692, he believed in the reality of fairies. They were most often encountered at twilight. And twilight is sort of a metaphor. It's not day, it's not night, it's somewhere between.
Well, I tell you now that we've got Chris Rutkowski joining us, and here just the latter part of the show with Jerry Clark, who will hang with us for a while. Chris, welcome back to the PowerCast.
Good to be here again.
You heard part of the discussion with Jerry. Anything occur to you?
Well, there's no question that the UFO phenomenon takes on a lot of facets. I mean, there's certainly a nuts and bolts aspect to it. Sometimes there's something a little more spiritual or esoterical, and that's part of the fascination that people have with it. That it's if we had all the answers, it would be a lot less of a mystery than it is.
Are we dealing, in your opinion, then, with separate things? Here are the physical UFOs, maybe the spaceships, and here are those other things.
Well, you know, I started in ufology as a true 4TIAN, I suppose, in that I was interested in all the things that were a bit on the unusual side. One of my first books was Unnatural History, which detailed all the weird stuff that was going on and been reported in my part of Canada, from UFOs to paranormal phenomena, ghosts, hauntings, Sasquatch, lake monsters, and all sorts of other unusual events. And I greatly appreciated some of the more non-nuts and bolts aspects of ufology quite early on, although I have to admit that my scientific background, you know, really makes me focus a little bit more on that than anything else. But at the same time, I have to acknowledge that we had cases where there was a UFO seen by a family of witnesses within a mile or two of where a Sasquatch had been reported the night before, and that in turn was close by a cemetery where spook lights had been often seen, and people had reported seeing some unusual things going on, and people regularly doused for water with their copper rods. So, you know, the overlap of things in small areas certainly was something that I appreciated and took note of very early on.
That's really interesting. Have you found over the years a correlation between UFOs and hauntings?
I don't think I've found a correlation necessarily, although, as I mentioned, you know, there's been some cases that seem to have some overlaps in types of phenomena occurring about the same time. Having said that, I've had discussions with some of my colleagues in the paranormal collective as to whether, you know, a spook light seen over a cemetery, if it's a discrete light and it's there, you know, every second weekend, or, you know, appears only in certain nights and that type of thing, and somebody reports it as a light in the sky to a UFO organization, is it a UFO or is it more in the realm of a haunting or a paranormal event? So that's been something that we've had to deal with from time to time. And, categorizing these things is, quite a challenge. So whether the event is reported as a UFO or something paranormal is really up to the witness. And it's a matter of trying to get the investigators on the same page to try and understand what's really going on.
We're trying hard to understand what's going to happen in the next segment. We've got Jerry Clark hanging with us, Chris Rutkowski just recently joining us, and more to come with Gene and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
With more people listening to radio than visit Google, Facebook, or YouTube, from the very young to the very old, everyone listens to radio. Pillow companies, alarm, identity theft, nutrition, insurance, banking, automotive, the list goes on and on. Billion-dollar businesses, why? The answer is radio, the media everyone tunes into. Find out how effective and affordable radio can be for your business. Contact 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell is praising the U.S. airstrike that killed a top Iranian military leader in Iraq. He spoke on the Senate floor.
No man alive was more directly responsible for the deaths of more American service members than Qasem Soleimani.
Speaking in Palm Beach, Florida, President Trump explained why they chose to strike.
We took action last night to stop a war. We did not
take action to start a war.
A rampage in Austin, Texas has killed a man who was at a burrito shop. Police Sergeant David Daniels says they don't know what set off the suspect, who also assaulted others in the area.
A tragic situation that somebody has lost their life. This is the first homicide of 2020.
This is USA Radio News.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. Again, that's 800-871-3291.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most, finger sticks. Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.
Hi, it's Grant Cameron from PresidentialUFO.com. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Now, just very briefly, on last week's episode of the Paracast, we had Jill Foot Shelley, and she's a ghost hunter. Okay? And she operates out of the St. Croix Valley. Now, when I tried to pin her down, really, how can we say that these ghosts are spirits of the dead? And her response is, well, it's comfort food, which I guess is that it feels comforting or reasonable to think that our dead relatives are there and are trying to get in touch with us. But you, Chris, you, Jerry, now that we're kind of overlapping into other phenomena, what do you think about it? Chris?
What I think of ghosts and so forth in terms of comfort food and why we have the reports at all. Well, I do tend to understand why. I just saw the note from the Free organization, the Monroe Institute, and all the abductees and so forth, the group that did all the survey of contactees. And they're now pushing for a scientific series of research programs to combine all the contact modalities, as they call it, which I hate as a term and doesn't mean anything at all. But they say it's things like, you know, UFOs and out-of-body experiences and ghosts and hauntings and poltergeists and Sasquatch and Mothman and all that sort of stuff. All the same types of phenomena that this phenomenon is trying to contact us through these various methods. So I sympathize with that. It does seem that there's a lot of common ground in a lot of these. But at the same time, you know, ufology is rooted in the nuts and bolts going back into its early part. And, you know, there did seem, for many cases, to be a very solid, pragmatic series of events leading to some case investigations, you know, marks found on the ground, some consistency in terms of sighting reports. And the fact that we can go back, for example, with my Canadian UFO survey, decades and find some common ground, find some ways in which we can explain cases simply by the way in which they're presented, because people report different colors at certain times. We know that there are durations that lead us to different conclusions. The fact that we can explain so many cases in ufology because we have the data and we know from experience how these things work suggests that they are a different type of bird than a lot of paranormal cases, which seem to have some real humanistic, some spiritualistic aspects to them. And a lot of that isn't present in a lot of the UFO phenomena. At the same time, there does seem to be overlap if you look at what contactees and abductees are reporting, especially contactees. There does seem to be a great overlap in terms of mental processes, paranormal phenomena, things going bump in the night, and so forth, that you can definitely say that there does seem to be some relationship there. But it's not a relationship that is prevalent throughout all of ufology, and certainly within prevalent throughout all of the paranormal phenomena as well.
Okay. I remember debate that consumed ufology for two or three decades and continues still to some degree. And that was the followers of Kiel and Ballet on one side, and the other side, the hardcore nuts and bolts people who really started ufology and continued as a strong faction of ufology. And these two groups were at each other's throats all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was a completely useless, pointless dispute. Because what if we're dealing with both things? And that what we call the UFO phenomenon encompasses things, that some of which are extraordinary anomalies that exist on some experience level and borrow from supernatural traditions and genuine physical craft from some other place in the universe. What if we're dealing with both? It's not either or. And I think that the high strangeness phenomena that interest me are the stuff that lend themselves to extraordinary kinds of speculations. Whereas in an ironic sense, the radar visuals, the CE2s, things like that, are really more earthbound because they're containable within science as we understand it. I think that's my point of view. I don't believe that UFOs are related to ghosts, but I believe that there is a connection that you can make with high strangeness phenomena and certain kinds of other supernatural traditions, particularly ones focused on other intelligences, whether 1897 aeronauts or elven creatures that exist at least on the experience level.
Absolutely. I remember my mind being blown because I started, you know, in the nuts and bolts era and quickly moved. I remember reading some of Valet's books like Messengers of Deception and reading Kiel's stuff about the ultra-terrestrials and so forth. And at that time, you know, reading that in the 70s and into the 80s, trying to deal with the facts that, you know, you, as you say, you have these radar visual cases, you have marks on the ground, you have some other aspects that seem really pretty solid machine-like things. At the same time, you have these experiences reported by witnesses that are much more, you know, experiential, for lack of a better term. And the possibility that the UFOnauts or whoever were manifesting these other effects in parallel to the nuts and bolts was really quite fascinating. And it was really interesting to have been part of that at the early onset.
Well, that was part of the question that we were discussing just before you joined the show, where I was asking Jerry where these experiences were initiated from. Were they initiated by the experiencer's own mind, or were they initiated by something external to the experiencer? If we include both, if we want to say we have an objectively real phenomena in terms of a UFO, a craft of some kind, with some sort of an intelligence that is able to initiate the experience in an experiencer, then we're dealing with one thing. If it's all initiated within the person's mind by some natural cause, then that's a completely separate thing.
Yeah, and there's also another way of looking at it too, because it is the witness that is important. I mean, we actually don't investigate UFOs because the UFOs are long gone, but we actually try to understand what the witness has seen. We're sort of the detectives after the fact. And I think I posted yesterday or the day before on UFO Updates about a case that had been sent to me just over the New Year's break of a woman who has taken many, many photographs and posted them to a number of UFO groups and submitted them to Linda Howe and to MUFON and a number of other organizations. And there's no question that the photos are, for the most part, simple lens flares and internal reflections of her camera. But her interpretation of what she's experiencing is much, much different than that. She is talking about armadas of saucers in the sky over her city. She is feeling spiritually enlightened. She is feeling very honored to have been chosen to have taken these photographs of the alien ships, and yet everyone who sees these photographs can identify what is seen as simple reflections of some streetlights and so forth. But what's experienced by the witness is very, very different. And I think we have to take that into account when we look at some of the other paranormal effects that witnesses have reported in association with UFOs. I mean, there will be some nuts and bolts effects, but, you know, what is actually being experienced, what the reality is, may be very, very different from what I interpret as opposed to somebody else. So that's certainly a factor as well that has to be taken into account when dealing with UFO cases.
Let's take this into account, and we'll have more to come with Jerry, Gene, Randall, and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
We all hear the stories in the news. The good guy uses a gun to protect his family from criminals, and he's the one arrested. The legal system is not fair, and responsibly armed Americans are political targets. So here's how you can take a simple and rewarding journey to complete self-defense confidence. Simply text GCN to 87222. To discover how the USCCA can give you the training, education, legal, and financial protection you need to truly protect the people you love. Don't risk everything and leave your family vulnerable. Now it's time to prepare and protect yourself. So if you're ready to take your next step as a responsibly armed American, you're ready to truly become your family's ultimate protector. Text GCN to 87222. Discover your life-saving USCCA member benefits today. Again, that's text GCN to 87222.
Hi, this is Don Ecker, and you are tuned into the Paracast. Let me tell you what, you're going to hear stuff here that you probably won't hear anywhere else. Hear that, George Snorri?
We continue with Jerry, Gene, Randall, and Chris. Jerry, you were going to pick up on something?
Yeah, Chris, this woman, I haven't seen these pictures, but I trust your assessment of them. But aside from the pictures, this woman is clearly, something's going on that she thinks is real. Does she describe anything, not these pictures, but something in her ground level experience? Does she have anybody else who has in her company has seen, like, you know, an alien or something extraordinary?
No, not at all. And in only one of the instances, and she actually has been reporting, I think there's 8 or 10 cases now that she's reported all in the span of a few days. In only one case has somebody else been present to see one of the lights that was moving in the sky. In that case, it was not a street light, but something else, I think an airplane. So, in most part, this is simply her experience. She did show the photos to, I think, her daughter, and her daughter just dismissed them out of hand as reflections and so forth. So this is something that's very personal to the woman, and it challenges ufology, or challenges UFO investigators, that what do you do in cases like that where, and we get this all the time, where somebody, you know, gives me a photo of something that they say is absolutely remarkable and clearly proves to them that UFOs are real, and you can see from the blue nature of the object next to the sun that it's clearly an internal reflection in the cell phone sensors, but to them it's something different. And are they really experiencing, you know, I don't know, a revelation, a profound raising of consciousness through this stimulus, or are they just sort of going off down the rabbit hole? And does it matter? I mean, to them, this is absolutely real. But Mike Benias has posted and written about a number of times, you know, the line between reality and non-reality is a little blurry sometimes, and depends a lot on the viewer.
Well, from your description of this, I don't think there's anything particularly anomalous going on. It seems like, you know, a psychological experience. It reminds me of something that happened to me. I've written about it years ago, where I got these letters from this guy in a small city in downstate Illinois, and he claimed that he had this little round ball that had been pushed out of his nose when he was thrown up against the windshield of his car in an accident. And he connected it with what he believed had been a UFO abduction experience. And he said if I was interested, he would give me this little ball that had been pushed up his nose by aliens. So Don Schmidt and I drove down to the city in downstate Illinois, and we met the guy. And, of course, Don and I were just barely able to contain our
skepticism
or excitement. And this thing turned out to be just a little industrial ball. That there was nothing unusual, there was nothing extraordinary about it. The only thing was that in his head, through some kind of psychological process that I wasn't privy to, this guy had associated it with really an incredible experience. And it was all just purely imaginary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we had the ball taken to a laboratory, by the way. That just turned out to be what it looked to us with our bare eyes.
How did he react when you informed him of your findings?
He didn't react. So I recall when we told him what we thought it was, what we were certain it was, he didn't say much of anything. I just don't even remember how he responded. I haven't thought about that. Mm-hmm. But he must have been pretty passive about it if I don't remember.
Right.
Well, this woman here, I actually replied to her in the Facebook forum where she was posting these. And I said, you know, I'm sorry to say, these seem to be, for the most part, just reflections and lens flares. And, boy, she flamed me something fierce. In fact, she called me a disinformation agent and that, you know, I can't be trusted because I'm obviously working for them and so forth. And what's really interesting is in this particular UFO forum, a lot chimed in. Boy, yeah, you know, there's no question that anybody who, you know, explains UFO photos as lens flares obviously is not a believer and then shouldn't be trusted at all. And that's it really shows how firmly ingrained belief is in this type of phenomena. And that's why a lot of the UFO lecture circuit is full of people who are really, really, you know, wanting to believe something very, very strongly. It sort of almost goes against the grain of what UFO investigation is all about, and ufology should be all about, trying to get to the truth, trying to understand what's really going on. And if you've already made up your mind that the aliens are definitely here and flying armadas over cities, then what's the point of UFO report investigation?
Well, isn't that funny?
One thing that is ubiquitous in society is paranoia, and that applies not just to UFOs, but all kinds of things, you know, political things. And people are just have to indulge their paranoia, whatever it's about. I think that's where it comes from.
Well, anyone who is objective is opening themselves up to ridicule on both sides of the fence then. I mean, at least if you're on one side or the other, you're only getting it from one side. But when you're in the middle, it can be pretty rough sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, and if you're sitting on the fence, especially a picket fence, it can be really painful.
Ooh. What do you guys think about when we were talking about Valet there, that he had this idea of a sort of a control system that kind of implies that whatever this phenomena is or the aliens are, there's some sort of an agenda, some sort of a intent on their part. What do you guys think about that?
Go ahead, Jerry.
I'm not wild about the idea.
Oh.
I think it's just, you know, an interesting speculation, but I don't know how you could prove it.
I can't remember who it was. It wasn't Valley and it wasn't Keel, but it was somebody from what was then called the New Age or New Wave ufology of the 70s who called it the cosmic thermostat. That if people got a little too pragmatic, something would occur either in society or in their own, you know, macro universe to Bring them a little more into the spiritual aspect. And if people got a little too carried away with a religiosity, something would occur to cause them to be a little more grounded. And it's an interesting way of looking at things, and can be applied in a lot of aspects of our world.
Yeah, you know, it's also just a mountain's worth of speculation on about an anthill's worth of actual data. You know, it's just people being clever. That's about all it is.
Mm-hmm.
Well, of course, forget it. I just lost what I was thinking there. It'll come back to me in a minute.
See, those aliens will just zap that out of your brain before you know it. Yep.
Actually, it's a neuralizer.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Everybody pay attention. Look right here.
Nick Redfern. There it is. How could we forget Nick Redfern? He was on the show not all that long ago talking about how he was writing in his book that the Russians actually were sending people and disinformation back into the contactee movement back in the 50s and 40s, 50, and the 40s, I think it was. So, I mean, maybe there's an agenda there. I mean, that would be something that's actually traceable. And, you know, Nick, he's dug up the Freedom of Information documents and so on.
I know that the FBI suspected George Adamski of communist activities. And I don't say that because I believe it, but I'm just reporting what I read.
And certainly there's stories about how the CIA and FBI infiltrated NICAP, and were basically running NICAP. Are there, you know, some sort of government agents trying to sway people's opinion for their own agendas with regard to UFOs? If you believe liberal media, I mean, that's occurring regularly with regard to politics. So why not with regard to UFOs,
well,
I suppose?
I also right-wing media are big.
And right-wing, yeah.
Yeah, paranoia is bipartisan, I think. But I don't believe that story about the CIA and NICAP. When I was working on my encyclopedia, I had access to a whole bunch of internal documents.
Let's go back to the NICAP thing. In our next segment, more to come with Gene, Jerry, Chris, and Randall. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We also have swag. You know, we have all these exclusive Paracast things that you can buy. We've got, like, I guess 60 or so different items, and entails T-shirts, sleeves for notebook computers, iPad cases, mouse pads, the Paracast jumbo tote bag, all sorts of T-shirts and jackets and stuff like that for men and women. We have a Paracast aluminum water bottle. All this stuff, you go to store.theparacast.com, store.theparacast.com. What makes it special is that the items are the best quality, you know, great T-shirts, fabrics, and they have our official logo on them. That's what makes them special, in multiple sizes and colors. We even have stuff for children, stuff for women, stuff for men. We have all sorts of sizes, like small up to X large. A lot of good stuff. That's the swag from the Paracast. You go to store.theparacast.com, stop by, and take a shopping tour.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-976-1460. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-976-1460. That's 1-800-976-1460. 1-800-976-1460.